So thankful tonight that the Lord was willing to be everything that I needed.
Yes.
And the Lord wants that to be the case for all of us tonight. It's a real blessing to be able to be here. This is a little different forum than what I'm used to preaching in, and I don't know everybody that's here. But it sure is a blessing for everybody to come in this place and worship the Lord a little bit together for a while. There's nothing like the fellowship of God's people.
Yes.
That Spirit of God is able to move among all of us, whether we know each other or not. That's one of the wonders of the Lord.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that this evening. As we're gathered together on this hillside, this beautiful hillside overlooking, this is James River down here. Beautiful place. I'm inspired to read about the message from the Apostle Paul in Athens while he was on Mars Hill. And I know you probably don't all have your Bibles with you, so I'll try to talk and read loudly enough for you to hear me. The account is found in the 17th chapter of Acts. And we'll start in the 22nd verse. It said, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also as your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and men's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at this, but now commandeth every man everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." That's quite a message that we just read that Paul gave to these people on Mars Hill. The scripture said, "As I passed by, I beheld your devotion."
Yes.
Now, if you'll give me just a little bit of personal liberty. Now, I don't know exactly how all of this took place, but I'd like to tell you how I visualize it, if I can. I visualize Paul wandering around all of these devotions. That's what the scripture called it, was devotions. And I can imagine him wandering through all of these altars and these gods that have been erected. And he passes by this one, and this is an altar that's been erected to satisfy some kind of a fleshly need that those folks had. And then he wandered on to the next one and found another altar that was there. And he looked at that. "Well, I wonder what this altar's for. Well, it looks like this must be, maybe this is to the god of war. We want those gods to watch over us." And then wandered around and found another god or altar or idol that was erected to something else, to some other devotion. And he kept wandering around and looking at all of these things almost like he's in a museum. And all of a sudden he comes to one. And at the bottom it says an inscription that says, to the unknown God.
Yes.
And I can see Paul look at that and go, here's my opportunity right here. This is my opportunity. And he used that as a mechanism to then preach a gospel message to these men and women that were searching for the thing that was needed to satisfy them and their lives. They had all these gods erected, all of these devotions that they were giving their heart and their life to, perhaps not knowing which one to offer something to on which day. They just knew they had a need. And because they weren't all sure, maybe they got to the end of all the devotions that they had and thought, you know, what if we miss something? Maybe we better put another one up here that just covers if we miss something to the unknown God. So that if there's a problem somewhere that these other gods can't handle, maybe this God can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he used that, Paul used that, to then proclaim to them who that unknown God was to them. And I want to tell you tonight, I am so thankful that I'm acquainted with that unknown God.
Yes.
The God of gods.
Yes.
The Lord of the heavens.
Yeah.
The one that made the sea and the land. The God that created the beautiful rivers that we see.
Mm-hmm.
This mountain here, this hill that we're on, that we're able to assemble on. The grass that grows. The flowers, all the animals, all the fruits and the vegetables. I think I can say this. I told my family the other day, I feel like I'm in this area, not any other area perhaps, but in this area I'm becoming more like Brother Leslie all the time. I look at the fruits and the vegetables and I see all the different kinds of fruits and vegetables and flowers and I start thinking, Lord, you are a wonderful God to create all of these things for our good. Isn't it wonderful? There is a God that did that. And he is the same God, this unknown God that these folks weren't sure who it was they were worshiping. This same God was willing to send down his son to preach the gospel to the poor. Is there anybody here tonight that feels like you're running on short rations in some area of your life? Do you know that the Lord God that created all of these things that we just talked about, he is a God that knows how to bring riches to the poor.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And he came to bring a message to you personally. It said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been brokenhearted? I have. The Lord came to preach a message to the brokenhearted of deliverance. This is our God tonight.
Yes.
This is the God that created all of these things, that did all of these things for us, and he saw our great need, and he sent his son down, that he would bring this gospel message to the poor and the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Have you ever felt in captivity to something? Have you ever been in that place where you did something that you didn't want to do? Or you felt in bondage to something that seemed like you didn't want to do it, but you found yourself doing it. Didn't Paul talk about that? The things that I wanted to do, I found myself not doing. Things I shouldn't have been doing. Well, that's... The Lord came to bring deliverance.
Yes.
The Lord God in heaven came to bring deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. You ever wish that you had a broader vision of what your purpose in life was? And you just didn't understand, what's my purpose and what good am I and what can I do? The Lord came to bring you a clarified vision, personalized for you, not just the broad, here's what everybody should do, but he has a message for you with your name on it. And at the end of it is an expected end.
Yes.
An end of peace. The Lord doesn't have evil thoughts towards us. He's chosen us. He's chosen you. He knows who you are. Just as he knows about his creation and everything else, the Lord came to bring us a message that would enlighten our vision. To set at liberty them that are bruised. We serve a God who knows
Yes.
He cares. He hears. He sees. And he knows your name.
Yes, thank the Lord.
He knows your name.
Yes.
You ever thought about that very much? The Lord knows me. Sometimes people say, so, do you know so-and-so? No, I'm not. I've seen him before. I know of him. Did you know that the Lord knows more than just of you?
Yes.
The Lord knows you. He knows what all of your needs are. And he came to bring a message of deliverance and power for you. The God of God. And he desires that we would find him. And that he would be a God to us. And we would be a people to him. That's the message that Paul brought to this people who had all of these devotions erected. All of these altars erected. All of these things that they were trying to be able to appeal to a power that was greater than they were to take care of the things in their life that they couldn't take care of. And we serve. This is a God now that we know of. And yet this evening, I wonder, as the Lord passes by your way, as the Lord passes by my way, what devotions does he see in your life? Does the Lord have to wander around in your life to try to find where he fits? Does the Lord have to look around and read the inscriptions of all the things that perhaps we have erected in our lives? Is he just a God of gods to us? Is he just one of the many? The message that I want to bring to you tonight, that I want to encourage you with, is give God your undivided devotion.
Yes.
Give God your undivided devotion. God wants to be a supreme God to you. He doesn't want to have to wander around in your life and find all of these other competing gods. It seems like in the world that we live in today, it seems like the world offers us so many devotions, if you will, to give our time to. So many things to give our limited time to and our heart to. So many things that appeal to our eyes and our ears. That appeal to our senses. You know, we just mentioned before, we just have such a limited amount of space in our lives to give ourselves to. There's a lot of things in life that I'm interested in. I see things sometimes and you say, well, I'd sure like to do that. I'd sure be interested in knowing more about that. But the fact of the matter is I'm not interested enough in it to pursue it, because I only have so much time and so much space, and it just doesn't rise to the level of importance to me. And the world today is putting so many things in front of us to consume the limited amount of time that we have.
Yes.
Devotions. Yeah. So many devotions, so many things that we become devoted to, and almost without knowing it, I fear, sometimes the Lord begins to take on an uncertain place in our life. Maybe we still would profess him to be our God, and we recognize him as the one that created everything, but as the Lord comes down and he looks at our lives and finds us with all of these other devotions, he begins to wonder, well,
yes,
what place do I have? There's a verse that I quote often in Luke 21, and it says, take heed unto yourselves Lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life.
Yes.
And so that that day come upon you unawares. Because it said as a snare, as a snare, unexpectedly, when you're not, you don't expect it, and all of a sudden, there he is. For as a snare shall it come on all them, that's all of us, that dwell on the face of the whole earth.
Yes.
Watch ye therefore, he said, and pray always.
Yes.
That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. That's why he started off saying, take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time you be overcharged.
Yes.
You know what? What does overcharged mean?
We can put...
What was that?
Too much.
That's exactly... That's right. Sometimes you get in trouble asking what people think something means because you can go off in all different directions. Too much. That's what I want. Overcharged means too much. You know, sometimes we can't allow the things that this world offers us too much place in our life. We say, well, I'm overcharged with surfeiting. I'm pretty moderate, and I don't do evil, bad. That doesn't apply to me. Drunkenness, well, that sounds pretty bad. I'm not a drunk. But we can become so intoxicated.
Yes.
We can become so intoxicated with things that in of themselves aren't sin.
That's right. Yes.
There's one. One of many.
Yes.
We say, well, it's not sin, but we can become intoxicated and addicted to things in our life that begins to take on so much of our devotion and time. And the enemy is so quick to say, well, that isn't a sin. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But you're intoxicated with it.
Yeah.
And it said, take heed that you be not overcharged with it. You can have too much of a good thing.
Right.
And neglect some other things that need to be on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
You can fill your plate up with a whole lot of things that in of themselves there's nothing wrong with.
Right.
But when you get to the end of the line, you don't have any room. You don't have any room for the most important thing. Overcharged. Too much. And you know, a lot of times with people that want to serve God and they recognize Him as God, the enemy doesn't sometimes tempt you with just evil. But he's fine getting you to be devoted and overcharged with too much of something that otherwise is not sinful. And he slips that in, and then you turn around and he's got the world. I mean, it's just proliferating devotions for us to consume ourselves with that in and of themselves maybe aren't wrong. And then he slips this one in and then he slips the other one in, and it's time to get up in the morning, and you get up, and oh, gotta do this, and then pretty soon it's time to go to bed, and man, I'm so tired, and the Lord's there saying, well, where was I? Where was I in the midst of all of your devotions? You had all of these things that you've erected in your life and have allowed to become part of who you are, and now, Where am I? When the Lord comes by our way and He whispers in our ear, do we hear Him? Have you ever been guilty, husbands? Have you ever been guilty of your wife saying, did you hear what I said? I'm sorry. No, I didn't hear what you said. And they said it loud enough for you to hear. But you can be consumed with something, and things are said, but you didn't hear, or you didn't listen. You might have heard some noise, but you didn't listen. When the Lord comes by and He whispers in our ear, have we given Him an important enough place in our life so that when He chooses to talk to us, we'll hear? Because sometimes I fear that we want to choose when the Lord talks to us.
Yeah.
It's like we put a bell up here, and we want to pay attention to all of our other devotions. And then, okay. Okay, Lord, ding, ding. Lord, now, Lord, do you have something you want to say to me? Well, how would you feel? How would you feel if you were God, the Creator, and there's somebody down there almost treating you like, well, when I'm ready for you, I'll let you know. Because I got all these other things I'm devoted to. And by the way, they're not wrong because I never found scripture and verse where you said I couldn't do these. And so, Lord, I have some time now for you. Folks, I'm preaching to myself. We are all at risk.
Yes.
That's why it said, take heed unto yourself.
That's right.
Take heed to yourself. At the world that we live in, it just seems like it keeps speeding up and speeding up and speeding up and going so fast. And I can just about tell you what people will say when you say, well, how you doing, Michael? How are things going for you? Well, I'm really busy. It's just really busy. That's what so many people say, me included. Oh, I'm busy. What are we busy doing?
Yeah.
Are we giving the Lord His proper place in our life, the God of heaven? Or is He just, He's there, but He's one of many?
Yes.
We won't turn there. 1 Kings 11 and 4. We read an account there that, I don't know, it's always made me feel so bad. It's about Solomon. Of all people.
Yes.
Of all people.
Yeah.
Who had so much wisdom because he was willing to ask God, Lord, would you grant me wisdom? He didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom. Of all people, do you know what happened to Solomon? It said in his older years, he began to allow influences to come in that were influences that were outside of the truth. And he began to allow altars to be built to other gods. But he didn't get rid of the one true God. He just was willing to allow other things and other gods to have a place in his life. And you know what the scripture said about that? It said that he did evil in the sight of God. And you know what else it said? This struck me. It said it was because he didn't fully go after the Lord. You can look it up. I don't have it right here, but it's real close to that. It uses the word fully. Because he didn't fully go after the Lord. And so he did evil in the sight of God because he allowed these other things that were not of God. He didn't say, well, I'm going to get rid of God. He knew it was the one true God. But he was willing to let these things in. The Lord said, you knew better than that. You knew better than that. You didn't go fully after me when you should have. Well, that's a challenge to me.
Yes.
Now, he allowed things to come in his life that were flat sin. But you know, the enemy doesn't always just use flat sin to get us to do something similar,
right,
where we don't pursue God fully in our life. We give Him a spot. We give Him a spot. We got a set of chairs, and Lord, you can choose whatever chair you want, but then I've got this devotion and these things that I spend time on. And I wonder my own life. You ask yourself for you. If the Lord were to take a walk through your life tonight, what would He see? What would He find? Would the Lord go away sorrowful? Would the Lord go away and say, oh, I sent my son. I had so much for them. I wanted to be so much to them, but I've been given a seat among so many other devotions. we read, it is in God that we live and move and have our being. Remember what the Lord told Martha? He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about many things.
Yes.
You got many things that you're careful and troubled about. He didn't say, Martha, you're sinning in many areas. That isn't what he said. No. He just said, you're troubled, you're careful, you're anxious, you're applying yourself, you're scrambling around, trying to give yourself to all of these things. And he said, well, one thing's needful.
Yes.
And Mary's chosen the thing which isn't going to be taken from her. You can't take away sitting at the feet of Jesus. One thing is needful. If the Lord were to look at our lives tonight, would he be able to tell that there's one thing in our hearts that we strive after? That there's one thing that, Lord, you are my primary devotion and all other things are subject unto you? Or would he find that we too are careful and troubled about many things and sometimes not careful and troubled, but we're consumed and we're intoxicated and we're overcharged? So many things in life that are going to pass away, that aren't even going to be here. And then you get to the end of the way and you have all of these things that you've applied your life to. Lots of stuff. You know, garage fulls of stuff and storage spaces filled. And, you know, if you just could accumulate everything you've done in life. And then there's what you've done for the Lord. And when he moves all that other stuff out of the way, what are we going to be left with?
Yeah.
Because it said we're going to face a God that's going to come and we're going to be judged. What are we going to be left with? I would rather ask that question today.
Yes.
I want to know today. I don't want to know when the judgment comes. I want to know today. Because if I have devotions that are getting in the way of the place that God wants to fill, I want to do something about it.
Yeah.
When I look around at the beauty, the outdoors, nature, the skies, the heavens, the universe, the position of the planets, and how everything is perfectly being put in place, that's what the Lord wants to do for you in your life.
Yes.
The Lord wants to perfect that which concerneth me. He wants to perfect that which concerneth you. The Lord has that desire for you in life, but how long will the Lord take second place?
Right.
How long will the Lord take third place? How long will he take fourth place? What place is the Lord in your life tonight? You know, it takes being honest with ourselves, and it's better to be really honest right now because there's a solution. There's an answer. There's forgiveness. It's better to be really honest with ourselves right now. And if we have not put the Lord first place, let's just get it out on the table.
Yes.
Lord, I have not put you first place.
Yeah.
Lord, please forgive me. Lord, I want to put you first place. I want you to be my primary devotion. Lord, I don't want to be of the number that has all these other things in my life and you've been relegated to one of them. He said, my spirit won't always strive with man.
Yeah.
Scripture says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Yet he does strive. The Lord's striving today.
Yes.
He loves. He cares.
Yes.
He's talking to our heart. He's devoted to us. He's shown devotion to us by giving his own son. Will you be devoted to him? That's the question.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Are you willing to be devoted to the Lord tonight? In a way that when the Lord passes by, oh, he can come by, say, Have you considered my servant,
right.
Job? Have you considered my servant? And place your own name in there. Why? Because he's your devotion.
Right.
He's what your life revolves around. A God that we know. A God that talks to us. We talk to him. We follow him. We want to know about him. We're willing to put some things aside and make room. Talk with the Lord. Why does the Lord want to be a primary devotion in our lives? Is it just because God wants to get all these people so that he can have all these people just bowing down to him just because he's God? Well, he could. He is God. We're the creator. But you know what? His intent is not just to put us in a straitjacket and cause us not to be able to do some of these other things that we think we want to do. It's that he wants to satisfy your need.
That's right.
It's that he has the answer.
Yes.
He can talk. He can hear. He knows your frame. He created you. And he just wants a primary place in your life so he can satisfy
That's
the
right.
very things that you long for.
Yes.
That's what those men and women were missing. They were trying to do it all on their own, creating all these gods. And they were missing the fact that there is a God who cares. And if you will just give him space in your life, if you'll just give him room, if you'll just clear the deck, so to speak, and say, okay, Lord, I've cleared it. Lord, I want you to have the preeminent spot. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to make room. I want to make time. I want to make space for you. It's going to take more than works. It's going to take a heart and a desire to follow the Lord wherever. That's why he wants to be our primary devotion.
Yes.
For you. And I'm challenged tonight. I want to examine my own heart.
Yeah.
Lord, are there places in my life that are interfering with your ability to reach me?
Yes.
It may not be sin. Doesn't mean necessarily that you're not saved tonight.
Yeah.
But sometimes we get in the way of what God wants to do for us because we just don't give him enough room.
That's right.
And we take him for granted sometimes. We take him for granted. Well, he's God. He's there. He knows I recognize him as God. He can get a hold of me when he wants to get a hold of me. Give him space. Give him room. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, I have chosen thee, and I'm not cast thee away.
Yeah.
I've chosen thee, and the Lord has chosen every single individual here tonight. There is not an exception in this room tonight. No exceptions. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what your background is, what condition you're in tonight. It doesn't matter. God has chosen you. And is calling you by name.
Yes.
And he wants you to allow him to become your primary undivided devotion so he can fix what's wrong in your life.
Yes.
And give you what it is that you want and need in life. Fulfillment, peace, security.
Lord.
Eternal security. Yes. I've chosen thee. But the question tonight is, have you chosen him? Have you chosen him?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yes.
Oh yes, I'm choosing him. Can he tell? When he wanders through your life and looks at all of your devotions, when he looks at the way your day is kind of blocked out, your activities, can he tell that he's your devotion? It's a challenge to me tonight. Challenge to me. Because there's been times where I believe I failed in that area where I haven't given the Lord enough space in my life. The Lord's asking us to be willing to surrender. Surrender these other devotions. Lord, I want to surrender to you. Lord, I want you to take, I want you to take my life. I want you to take my hands and my feet and my heart. And I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I want to be able to get to the end of the way and have the Lord know me as one of His. We'll be willing to make them our devotion that is given first place.
Yes.
Amen.